Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello! Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to another reality show. There are plenty of places you could have chosen to be, and I am delighted that you have chosen to be here. My name is Golden Hawk. We have an amazing show. William Whitecloud is on the show tonight, and I always like to kind of brag that when I have my friends from Australia on the air, that he's actually talking to us from Friday, which to me just tickles me pink to know that we're not only going multidimensional, we are going, you know, kind of timeless, because Friday is talking to Thursday. I understand it from, you know, where the earth is and where we're placed on the earth, depending on where the sun is. But like I said, it just tickles me that, you know, tomorrow is talking to today or talking to yesterday from according to his perspective. And, you know, meeting in the middle at the present moment is, it doesn't get better than that. And actually, the conversation I'm going to have with William tonight, I'm not even going to really kind of do my usual 10 minutes of my introduction of what's been going on with the week, because I know it'll be incorporated, because we're going to talk a lot about alchemy, and that's where I'm at. So let's welcome William Whitecloud to the show. Welcome to the show, William. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Golden. Hi to you and to everyone that's listening and possibly even going to call in and talk with us.
Yay! Exactly. Okay, right. So I've come to the conclusion, my beautiful listening audience who shares with me on Facebook and shares with me with emails, I would love for you guys to be a part of the show energetically. I have truly amazing guests and people with wisdom from around the world, around the galaxies. So I'm just going to emphasize, you know, I'm going to actually take pauses in between the conversations to invite you guys to share a comment or a question, or, you know, even just getting on and saying hi and letting your energy be out there. It doesn't matter. I just want you to know, I want you guys to become a third aspect of the radio show, because it means so much to me when you communicate to me through Facebook and emails. I would love for you to benefit from the whole energetics of getting your energy out on the air. So the phone number to call in is 646-929-2084. And I'll keep bringing that up as the night goes on. So, I had put out an email and an invitation sharing. Now, I don't know how many people know this, but William teaches like a 7-day class on the Magician's Way. Is that accurate? I know that's your book. I don't know if that's can you tell us about your 7-day course? Because it'll help me lead into where I want to go.
Okay. Well, I do actually have a 7-day program that's called Master Your Destiny. But it might be of interest to you and everyone listening that really the primary training that I run is actually a year-long course, although it's not every day of the year. It's a weekend every month for 8 months and effectively lasts almost a year. So, excuse me, we call it the year-long training. And it really is a profound, in-depth training in what I call magic, which is the ability, in my opinion, in my understanding, and my definition of magic is really simply to be able to be in touch with your inner destiny, your inner guidance, and be aware of that, and not only be aware of that, but then manifest that as a tangible, palpable destiny in the world, bring that into reality. And by necessity, it covers many aspects of life, from everything from manifesting through intuition, understanding of personality typing, relationships, etc., to some quite powerful metaphysical ideas and concepts as well. And that is then also for those who don't have the time, frankly, to commit to a full year, but still want to experience and receive the essence of that training. We do have a 7-day, a week-long training, which, as I say, incorporates the essence of that long-term, profound training. And that is based on the first book that I brought out called The Magician's Way. It's really an insight into a series, seven secrets, we call them, the seven secrets of magic, which are an insight into a series of principles relating to creating a conscious and intentional life.
Yeah, we actually initially had done a couple of shows. I think we only got up to like the third or fourth secret. I don't even know if we got to the fourth. I think we did like two shows, and I mean, they're fabulous. Like as Eckhart Tolle says, they're fabulous signs that kind of point you in a direction. At least for me, where, you know, we're all creators. You know, now the question is, are we conscious of what we're creating? And most people, if they're just becoming aware and just doing the awakening, you know, don't recognize that, you know, all the hell breaking loose, you know, could either be the dark night of the soul starting, which is when the soul starts, you know, coming into your experience, or you could just be, you know, God, there's 100 million different reasons why you can be creating, quote unquote, unconsciously. And the book and the seven secrets really helps you focus your point of what it is that you, the person themselves, truly desires, what your soul desires, what makes you happy, not what makes your parents happy, not what makes, you know, your culture happy or your age group, but truly what's in your soul. And real quick, I just want to just read the seven secrets. The first secret is your thoughts and feelings aren't real. The second secret is your focus creates your reality. The third secret is everyone has a heart. I really enjoy that one. The fourth secret is there is never anything to do, but always action to take. The fifth secret is structure has integrity. The sixth secret is you get your energy from a higher source. And the seventh secret is it takes will. The book is fabulous, The Magician's Way. I have it set up. I don't know if it's still the way Blog Talk Radio used to be. It used to be if you clicked on the picture, it would go to Amazon. But if not, williamwhitecloud.com, he sells the book, or you can go to The Magician's Way on Amazon and find it at Amazon. But So you do a year-long class, I think I remember reading somewhere that you said, but, you know, there are people, quote-unquote, that don't feel like they have the time, quote-unquote, to focus on themselves. So I guess from a more conscious perspective, me, that's all I do. I mean, this is my world, and I'm actually kind of interested. Well, let me ask you a question before we go into the radio stuff. Can you be out of the country and take that one-year course?
Sure. Sometimes people are out of the country. We've had people fly over a weekend every month from the United States, and particularly New Zealand, which is, of course, closer to us than, in fact, it's, you know, to fly to fly to the east coast of Australia, it's quicker to fly to the east coast of Australia from New Zealand than it is to fly from the west coast of Australia.
Oh, God. So I see the question.
But okay. My business partner is actually now living in Palo Alto in California, where we've set up an office, and so we're fully working on bringing the work to the United States, and I think, you know, many people will be happy to participate in the work. It's really good work. It's profound work, and it's just so comprehensive and all encompassing.
Yep.
If you talk about alchemy, what I love about alchemy, if you really understand alchemy, whether it's Occidental alchemy or Oriental alchemy, if you have a full appreciation of alchemy, it's the most profound and comprehensive spiritual system and creative human transformational system ever devised. It's just so pure and also just so all-encompassing, because when you look at a lot of different work, spiritual practices, creative practices, psychological practices, they actually tend to focus, according to the personality type that devised the practice, they tend to focus on an aspect of our full nature, and only an aspect of it. And you know, in some cases, it might be a highly evolved spiritual aspect of ourselves, or it might be a very low aspect of consciousness that the work is focusing on. It could be just totally materialistic survival and power seeking from you know, on that level, or it could be just some really high metaphysical aspect of ourselves that the focus is on, but alchemy covers the full spectrum from the very point which you raised earlier, is that inherently we are born into an illusion, and I don't mean to be negative about that, but it's just a fact. It's just current reality that because of who we are and how we are and the way we are, we are born into an illusion. Every culture and civilization through history has recognized that. From the most Stone Age tribe to the most sophisticated civilization today, every person who studies the science of humanity understands that we're born into an illusion, an egoic illusion. And, you know, alchemy recognizes this through the process of alchemy. There's three phases to alchemy. The first phase of alchemy is negredo, the blackness, the darkness. Albedo, the whiteness, the light, and rubedo, the red phase, which, you know, we can discuss later.
But okay.
The first phase is negredo, which recognizes that you're born into the darkness. We humans live in darkness, live in shadow, live in an illusory perception of who they are, what reality is all about. And you know, the whole aim of alchemy is to transfer lead into gold, and lead is where you start in the negredo. And through the psychological process, rather than the metaphor, the chemical material metaphor of it, but if you take the true psychological meaning, you start off in that illusion and you break it down. What's it called? Putrefaction, the actual decomposing, the rotting of the material, breaking yourself down, and then rising up into the albedo, into the light, where you, through your imagination, through your intuition, get in touch with not some necessarily universal truth or belief system or something, but your truth. You know that old saying of, I see the light. Well, where do we think that comes from? I see the light. It's the truth, the higher perception of reality, which can take us quite out there, really. But then, you see, the last phase of alchemy is the rubedo, which is, you know, in alchemy they say that it can't be gold until the red tincture is applied. And the rubedo, the red, is associated astrologically. It's correspondent. Its astrological correspondent is Mars, which is, you know, the planet of the masculine, of will, to then take this very elusive, ephemeral quality, reality, truth, and then concretize it on planet Earth, bring it in into reality, live it, cement it, create it.
Yes.
And you know, as I said, some psychological processes can just dig in the dirt and just hash over the negredo day in and day out. What's wrong with you? What's got to be fixed, etc. Some processes, some models, should I say, are just focused on the light, and it's just all white light and good, and that can be very associated with sort of the New Age philosophies that emerge. And it's all just angelic and good and whatever, you know, and then there's no grounding anywhere and no will to bring anything into the world, but just feeling good through an association with some perceived worthy higher principle. Or you can get people that are neither in the negredo or the albedo. They're just in the rubedo. They're just in will, and they're just blindly, you know, forcing their will in the world, burning up their adrenal system, etc., which is no good, you know, because that will is meant to be directed from a higher place. Like you're talking about the six secrets of magic. You know, you get your energy from a higher source.
Right.
So if you, I don't know if I've painted a picture here, but if you can just get this sense of this totally complete system. And why I'm talking about it, because you raised this comprehensive training that I've devised and run, and, you know, it's a training in that whole total complete cycle and process. So by necessity, it's obvious that to do that, we then have to look at and empower people with abilities that can allow them to handle and go through that whole process in a very powerful way, which then makes you a very powerful human being. It brings you to
right
your
on.
Ultimate power.
Right on. This is why I love you, because, I mean, I love the picture you painted. And my personal feeling on that whole, you know, ascension path that is all in the positive, when I say, I mean, it's all fluffy clouds and bunnies and butterflies, and I'm not saying that that's not a beautiful aspect of life, but that's not where we're, when we wake up, what I have noticed for myself as well as many, many other people is the awakening usually comes from the pit of darkness and pain, where you just kind of really get an awareness that what you were saying earlier, that when we think we have to run our lives and quote-unquote control where we're putting our energy, our world and our lives and our realities just literally dig ourselves into a hole that is extremely painful. Or here, the simple way to put that is the American dream is a painful experience. You know, we're supposed to, you know, buy the houses, buy the toys, have the trophy wife, live in a perfect space and never, you know, never get your hands dirty, forget outside in nature. That's just not part of the American dream. You know, it's all about technology and bank accounts and cars that you drive, and there's no depth in that, as much as there's no depth in what I call this, what the false ascension. To me,
yeah.
if you're not incorporating where you've been, and it's not just this lifetime, Jesus, I mean, I have done through dream work and hypnosis, you know, I get a sense that I was a really shady character for several lives. And, you know, I mean, I'm not afraid of my dark, and I try to tell people all the time on the show, it's because I'm learning to own it. And I'm actually learning to own it not from the space of, okay, I own it, but I need the light to come in and heal it. I am now beginning to understand that for me, the true alchemy is that my light and dark can exist side by side, because there's a blending when there's an acceptance of both that is far grander than what my vision, in other words, it is starting to take me, you know, deeper down the rabbit hole by simply saying, I know I have a dark side. I mean, I know it. I've shared with it, you know, I've shared it on many a radio occasion. And now I just allow it to be. I'm not trying to heal that. I'm just acknowledging that I have done dark things. I have thought dark thoughts. And now I'm looking to go beyond the light and beyond the dark, because in that balance, the alchemy is showing me that, oh my God, there are experiences and there are dimensions that when those two experiences, the light and the dark, are not separate, but when they are actually joined and blended, that, you know, just go beyond the earth plane. It's beyond this experience. What do you think about that?
No, it's difficult for us to have a conversation because we agree on everything.
I love it.
So, but, well, you know, I certainly agree with what I certainly relate to what you're saying with there and empathize with it. You know, the whole false ascension thing is very pernicious. It's often...
Yes. Yes.
You can't judge it, and you can't judge what is, you know, it's only if you work closely with a person that you can really discern where they're at.
Yes.
So you can't just make blanket statements about people, you know, in broad brush strokes. But often, you see, where you talk about the soul's ascension, and in my capacity, I've worked with a lot of people, And in good faith and goodwill, and they're working in good faith and goodwill, and they see this very thing about themselves, not just me seeing it about them.
Right,
but,
right.
It can just be as much as a, in their perception that it's a benevolent and you know, good and holy way to be. In many cases, you'll find that it's actually just childish. It's just a happy place that a person's gone to deny whatever pain they're in, and it's just their way. You know that they've latched on to this, and it's not a way that takes into account, like you say, any actual reality or any will to translate something into a practical reality in life. It's just a vicarious association, you see, like watching a football team and thinking that every time they win, you're a winner. You know, it's as deluded as that, really.
Right.
And it is. You know, if we're talking about this, then I feel obliged to just say what I see about it is that, you see, the thing that creates your reality is your subconscious, the feminine aspect of self that is the creative principle within you, which is actually really beyond our understanding. But one thing I've come to understand about it, and you know, this can really be tested, and you'll see that the subconscious really, what it creates based on is based on where it perceives, or it not perceives, but assumes the power is. So it's saying, whatever you're given the power in your consciousness, it's going to create a reality consistent with that. And so if you denying, like now you talk about the dark side, well, if someone has a dark side, a shadow or whatever, and they denying that, well, why would you deny it? Why would you hide from something other than you believe that it has power over you?
Right.
So that's telling your subconscious the dark side has the power over you. And I got into trouble for talking about this lately, and I might get into trouble again. You know, I'm a sucker for punishment. But you know,
well, you won't get in trouble from me, so because I love what you're saying, and you're saying it beautifully. So
no, it's what I'm going to say next. It's not what I've said so far. What I've
said
so far is,
okay.
I don't think it's controversial to say what I'm going to say now. It's just the truth that I was transferring. You see, I live next door to a judge. In fact, I'm surrounded by judges. Where I live in a street that, for some reason, the judges in our area have decided to live. And so I've got a judge on both sides of me. And, you know, we're good acquaintances, and our dogs play together and one thing and another. And so we inevitably get together over the garden fences and have a chat. And
right.
I was chatting to one of my judge neighbors the other day, and we had a conversation. This is not where it started, but it kind of ended up here. And he was telling me, and in Australia, we have a thing called the Apprehended Violence Order, yeah? And that's, I don't know what the equivalent in America is, but it's a restraining order where if someone's violent towards you, you go to court and you get this order taken out and that they can't come, they can't contact you, they can't come within 150 meters of you, whatever, you know, and they can't harass you. So it's a protection order, yeah?
Okay.
And it's called Apprehended Violence Order. And in Australia, if you say to anyone an AVO acronym, everyone understands what that is.
Okay.
And the judge told me that the highest number of AVOs, Apprehended Violence Orders, are taken out against individuals within a particular spiritual community in the area.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now.
Wow.
Now,
that's kind of interesting.
Not taken out against individuals of all spiritual communities, but these people have a commune. They're the largest commune in the area. They're the most, probably the longest standing one as well. And it's not a reflection of other spiritual communes and communities and whatever.
Okay.
But you know, why would he lie to me? This is what he told me. He said the highest percentages in our community of AVOs are taken out against individuals within this community. He wasn't colluding about them, anything. It wasn't a discussion about them and their beliefs or anything. He just mentioned it in the sweep of the conversation.
Right,
but
right. I understand.
Not in any
I understand.
Denigration of them or anything. So
right, he wasn't profiling. Right.
He wasn't profiling. No, exactly. That's a very good way of putting it. However, I know members of this community, and generally I know about them, and I'm not going to name and shame them, but I can tell you objectively that it is true, that it's not my perception or anything. It's just a fact that they are very much in their practice and their modality and their methods, their beliefs, should I say.
Okay.
Is that the lower, and what they call, because I don't call it the lower aspects of self, but the lower aspects of self are to be denied, that you mustn't have anger and you mustn't have sex.
Oh,
know?
My.
You know,
you're all living together and nobody's having sex. That's not good.
You're not going to find you or I there, most probably, in there. But you know, these are the lower base, in their terminology and ideology.
Right, I understand.
The base aspects of human nature and must be transcended and risen above, you see. And so, according, you know, to them, then, if you're in that situation, then you you're defined as bad if you have bad, what they would call bad thoughts. If you have angry thoughts towards someone, if you have sexual thoughts towards someone, whatever, right?
This kind of reminds me, this reminds me of the Catholic Church, doesn't it? I mean, isn't that what the Catholics are kind of told? Well, the priest, anyways.
You can't, again, profile the Catholic Church, per se, but there is an element of truth that is, you know, true to the Catholic Church or part of its doctrine or what some sects of the Catholic Church subscribe to. It's true. It's very true. And this is true of this particular sect, you see. And then, you know, structurally, you can just see where that's going to go, where it's going to lead. It's just going to lead to... It's a setup to deny your nature.
Exactly.
And as I said, what you deny is going to get the power. And this has never been. I'm not referring to them now, to who the judge was talking about.
But in my past
experience, sexual repression leads to sexual perversion. And
absolutely,
you know,
absolutely. I agree.
Repression of anger leads to violence and so on and so on.
Yes.
And, I remember doing a workshop once where there was a woman in the workshop and, an older lady. And there was nothing real in her interaction with us. And all she saw was archangels. And I remember at one point I said to her, "You know, you're full of shit." And
that would be a Goldie line.
she burst, her face burst out into this wealth of red leather, about a thick, an inch thick.
Yeah.
This just this welt, this red welt.
Wow.
Led readily wealth of anger. And before that, you know, she had been calling me an archangel and everything. And in a break, she's a little old lady, right? And she for the rest of the workshop, I was surprised she didn't leave, but for the rest of the workshop, this wealth never went down. It was just like a baboon backs up in heat, you know? It was just unreal. And In this break, I went up to her to give her a hug, you know, to just say, you know, no hard feelings and, you know, whatever.
Right.
And I had my arms outstretched. And instead of hugging me back in return, and maybe I'd ask for it, but she gave me this sucker punch in the stomach that perfectly stamped me up. And I wasn't an archangel anymore, you know. I was
you had been demoted at that point.
I had been seriously demoted. But anyway, that's just an amusing aside.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if we lost you.
I just said that's just an amusing aside, nothing to do with anything.
Oh, okay. No, well, it does though, because see, listen, I love this conversation, because first of all, I love stories. People tend to definitely understand concepts if you list it, you know, like an equation, but it's taken to heart when we can speak of something personal, you know, with names and faces and people. Because the alchemy of spirit, which is really the alchemy, I'm not really interested in putting rocks in my pocket that will change to gold. Not saying that wouldn't be a wonderful attribute to have, but that's not where I don't sit here, you know, and go, I've got to figure this out so I can turn my rocks to gold. What I want to do in my alchemy is be able to be in my body on this planet in a freedom and a sovereignty that can allow me to experience life the way my thoughts and my visions of it are created. You know, I mean, I basically, up until very, very recently, have really kind of had one foot in this planet and one foot out, in the sense of I was kind of like a subdued suicidal. You know, meaning I never really fit. I didn't feel comfortable here. You know, it's like I was always, you know, I would, as a teenager, I was completely suicidal, but I think many teenagers are. But even as I grew up, I mean, I'm passionate about figuring out the universe, but through the alchemy, I can actually say with total confidence, I mean, it's my truth, that I am so happy to be a part of the Earth experience right now. I mean, I'm here. I made it. I'm not running away anymore. In fact, I'm grounding everything. I'm starting to truly understand the concept of what it means to ascend. It is not about leaving my body and getting off the planet. That's truly what I thought it was in the beginning. And, of course, I wanted that because I hated being here. But the true ascension is to understand all the parts that we are, the parts that we love, the parts that we hate, bringing them together, seeing the genuine simplicity of, well, of course there has to be parts we hate if there's parts we love, because in a dualistic experience, something has to be the bad guy. Otherwise, there's no such thing as a good guy. There is no good guy without a bad guy. You know, and it's like, oh, okay. So that immediately eliminates shame and guilt. And then we start going into expanded experiences that the alchemy takes us into, that what happens to me in my physical being. I mean, I'm starting to understand, you know, I've always wanted to travel. Travel has been something I want to be with cultures. And I'm not talking about on a main strip, you know, like in Mexico down the main strip. I want to go, you know, into colonies and you know, where people are living, you know, really in basically third world countries, because my instincts, everything in my body and my cells tells me that the love and the spiritual connection they have with the earth, I mean, the fact that they have no floors, they're clearly connected to the earth, is what I'll find in these small communities. And because, I mean, I get that from my whole Peruvian work when I was very interested in shamans. You know, these people that are coming with vast information, and they live in the jungle without MP3 players and television sets. You know, it's like, I want to be in these spaces. And then I'll stop talking. The one thing I'm learning, though, is I can travel to the world as well as beyond the world through my body. It's like, there are portals on the world, but these portals are only a macrocosm to the microcosm in my physical being. And this is where the alchemy takes you. When you're done playing good guy, bad guy, whichever side you're on, and we're done beating ourselves up for not being good enough, then the alchemy can start happening, and the whole playing board goes from being a very limited space of what you're experiencing to literally limitless space. I mean, pick a universe, pick a galaxy, pick a race, it's like going from a buffet of having three different types of foods to a buffet that's 17 million miles long, and every single plate is different from the plate that's next to it. You know, every single plate is unique. It's like, it's incredible. And the key is to disconnect from all the warring, like you were saying, disconnect from being right. Oh, my God. I can personally speak on that one. We are programmed to want to be right. It is like, come hell or high water, I'm good. And there's a famous saying, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? And I mean, for years I was like, I'd rather be right. What an illusion that is. I mean, can you speak on that? You know, what do you think about that? Or listen, this is a good time to say, callers,
If you'd like to join in with the conversation with me and William, 646-929-2084. Share with us what you think about your own alchemy or being right or, oh boy, I'm not good at this. I'm not smooth. Anyways, please share with me, William.
Well, don't worry, you're very smooth.
Okay.
One of the things I've begun doing more recently is taking people on safari in Africa.
Yes, I saw that. Yes.
We have a African Soul Safari, and it's a 2-week journey back to the farm I grew up on in Africa, and then the surrounding wilderness and cultural scenery as well. And it's an amazing experience.
I would love to do that with you.
You must come.
I want to. You have no idea. That's a bucket list. And the fact that I know you, I now know it'll happen. Okay, please continue.
Everyone should come on this, because we also weave a kind of a workshop through it, and it has a very strong intention, the whole journey, and it's a journey on many levels. And mostly it's really a journey back to soul, back to heart. And really, more than anything, what the workshop's designed to do is just put the participants in a space that they can receive the journey. It does no more than that. And in the journey itself, when they can receive it, does the rest. And the effect of that the journey has on people, other than the spectacular cultural, scenic, wildlife scenario. What the effect on them is?
Oh wait, William, we have a call. We have a caller. I want to take the caller.
Sure.
We threw out our line. We caught a fish. Okay. Hello, area code 760. You're on the air. Thank you so much for calling.
Hello.
Hello.
I was listening to you two talk on my computer. And I saw that you had like a little comment box, so I put my comment in, but I guess you don't get the comments.
I don't see it. Blog Talk Radio has a whole new studio thing, so I don't see it.
Oh.
I'll probably see it afterwards. So thank you for that. But
okay, but
oh, share though.
I called last week, and I have.
Oh, hey,
John.
Okay.
Hi.
Yes.
I want to ask you two something, and I thought that maybe I could just ask it, and maybe just let you two talk about it. It has to do with what you're talking about, and it's kind of specific.
Okay.
As far as like the alchemy, and I know that William, right, that you have like a year course, which I think is fantastic. I think that is, I just want to comment that I think that's the wave that we're going towards, is having groups of people working, because the way our society is structured, it just hasn't been working. This is really the way to go. And in that conversation about, like, when you first started the show, you were talking about these seven principles. I wrote them down, and basically they're the seven principles of alchemy, which are great. But you were also saying how a lot of people feel, like, really hurried, and they don't feel like they have the time, and they're just overwhelmed. And I confer on that. And I've noticed something in myself, but I would like to ask both of you this question, and then I'm just going to get off the phone and see if I can listen to you, because I don't have a lot of time, and I want to listen to you talk about it. And it's this. There's something about how, well, right now it feels like, I know for me, and I'm sure a lot of other people are having the same experience, it's just like a lot is falling apart. Like, there's a lot of, like, no matter, for me, like, no matter what I'm doing, like, relationships are falling apart. There's, like, misunderstandings happening. People leaving, jobs not working out. There's like a lot of strife, a lot of struggle, and a lot of the ways that we've been trying to do things aren't like really working that well, and we're all trying to learn how to have a good life. And what I've noticed is for myself is like as I'm going through my day and I'm having like this experience of just like, oh my gosh, my world is like falling apart. is that when I focus on just like what's right in front of me, or it could be anything, like for instance with you two, when I'm sitting on the computer and I'm listening to you talk, I'm just listening to your words, like just focusing on right now, like what's going on right now. It could be just any even small thing, like just like, oh, I noticed this cloud and it was just like so beautiful and it was like, wow, the feeling that it created in me, that there's something about that, that there's, I want you two to talk about it. Like, I'm trying to figure out what it is. It's like there's something that we can do this work that William's talking about, and a lot that you talk about too, Golden Hawk, about doing this inner work and how important it is in the hurry-scurry of the day.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course it makes sense. William, you share, I mean, because William, you teach about this, correct? This is part of the workshop?
What's the caller's name? Sorry?
Dawn. A.K.A. Goddess.
What?
There you go, girl.
I didn't get the name. Sorry.
Dawn, A.K.A. Goddess.
Dawn. Like the dawn in the morning, dawn.
Exactly, exactly.
The dawning of the age of Aquarius, dawn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just spoke about that song.
Yes.
That's funny you say that. Yes.
I must have known you from the 70s. That's what everyone called me back then.
Well, Dawn, thanks for your contribution. Much appreciated.
Right on.
Do you want me to go first?
I do. Yes.
Alvin?
I'm going to listen just for a minute, and then I'm going to say bye. I just want to hear what
it
says right now.
Of course. Please, yes, William, please comment on that.
Okay. Thank you, Dawn. Thanks so much for your contribution, because just having that input, you know, stops making it about me, which is always a blessing, you know. I straight away feel great when it's not just me and my big ideas that I'm talking about. But, you know, going to, and you know, I suppose you could get a lot from Dawn's question and observations and statements as well, and we all kind of take away what jumps out at us, and the thing that jumped out at me was that this notion of structures falling apart, and you know, that's happening on an international level at every level. Everything is falling apart because structurally we're at a point in time and space, in history, in evolution, where we've ridden the structures that were created for our society. Were created some time ago, and in the time that they were created, they were an evolution. They were a step forward, probably, from what we had before. You could maybe argue against that, but generally, I think it's fair to say that we live longer, we have more, we have access to more, etc. Generally, we've evolved from cavemen through a feudal system to some kind of democratic system. Not universally, but that's been the way things have been going, and it has been an evolution. But clearly, it's not these structures that we've created and that we've designed in the past. Are not the structures that are going to carry us forward in the future. And the way that they've been designed and the way that they've been rigged are not sustainable. You know, the resources of the planet, everything's coming together to conspire to make the structures that we have put together in the past unworkable in the now. And we're just seeing the end of that now. It really is falling apart. And So it's quite a common experience for many people, for most people even, all over the world, really, that things are just falling apart. And to me, it's just a reflection that the structures that exist in our society, but even within ourselves, because we've taken all this on, really, don't really support us. But having said that, you see, it doesn't mean that we have to be subject to this chaos, I don't believe. Because I believe that, and you know, it's not what I believe only, it's in my experience, in my personal experience, is that if we have broken down, and this is what we were talking about earlier, is this negredo and alchemy, the breaking down of your structure. You see, negredo relates to its correspondence in astrology, is Saturn, which is, and I'm not a big astrologer, but I know enough that one of the associations or aspects of Saturn is about, you know, it's very masculine and it's about structure. And so it's about breaking these structures down. And what alchemy allows us to do is rather than be victims to the societal structures and those structures that are encoded in us, transferred to us personally, that we're conditioned with, if we break down and break those structures down within ourselves and let everything fall apart, well, we come to the truth of who we are. It's kind of like, the way I see it, every individual that's born onto planet Earth is actually born onto a path, and it's an invisible path that you see once you allow all the structures to break down and fall away. And then what's opened up to you is your path that you're able to see and that you're able to follow. And then when you have that path, that's when you really have sustainability, permanent security, because that path will create momentum in your life and build rather than destroy you. And you'll always see in every culture and civilization through history, no matter how bad it's been, there have been those that have risen above what's going on, not in an ascension way I'm talking about, but who have held themselves together, who have prospered, who have thrived, who have survived and you know, lived in a powerful way. A good example is Nelson Mandela. He spent 28 years in jail, but was never defeated by those circumstances. He rose right above that to be an inspiration for a nation and for the world. Because if you look at him, you know, clearly a man of huge integrity that was fixed on his path, and his path just led him to greatness. And this is what I'm saying, is that it's possible. I don't want to compare myself to Nelson Mandela at all, but you know, I'm really no comparison to him at all. But what I can say is that I can affirm that in my own life, my life, while I see the breakdown everywhere, my life isn't breaking down. My life is evolving, growing, building, relationships are getting stronger. Everything improving all the time, going on to more and more wonderful things all the time. And, you know, that's the gift that alchemy gives us, is that, you know, what Golden Hawk, what you were saying before about living in your body totally in the present and the benefits that come from that is the beauty of alchemy is that it's a structure that we put in place. It's in a sense a finite structure that we can put in place and live by, that then opens up infinite possibilities for us. So that's my initial comment.
Right on, William. That was awesome. That way, let me.
I had to say
that. There you go.
That
go,
completely
Dawn.
Answered my question. Like, that was so great. I'm just, like, really thrilled to hear it. Goldahawk said my class starts at 6, and I usually
I know.
To the show
I
after
love
I get
that
out.
You call in, Dawnie. Thank you so much. I just
love
you. I
can't wait to hear what
you
have to say about it.
Oh,
so
we'll
good,
definitely
though.
Talk. When you get out of class, feel free to listen. We're definitely going to keep, because it's a great question and it applies to everybody, or at least many of us. So thank you so much for asking the question
oh
and bringing up the topic.
Love you so
Mwah.
Much.
Thank you, love. I love
Bye.
You back.
Bye.
Have a great night. Bye,
Bye
love. So, okay, so, because, I mean, William, I mean, I understand that you don't want to compare yourself to Nelson Mandela, but in all honesty, when all of us go through our what I was saying earlier, the dark night of the soul, it is indeed dark for everyone. I mean, there's a sense of complete loss, complete, you know, I understand Nelson Mandela in 28 years in prison. That is an extraordinary mountain to embody. But I know when I went through my dark night of the soul, in fact, I'm going through another one as we speak, because I think what happens is, you know, exactly like you were saying, that it's almost like we get piled up in our world with the illusion, and then the soul kind of comes in at what I believe is actually like appointed times. And I believe those appointed times are puberty and for women when they're about 42 and for men when they're about 49. And I've gotten that from another teacher, but it made so much sense that the midlife crisis is also a time when the soul itself is coming into our experience. And that is when the earth experience gets totally shaken up. I mean, shaken up, you know, deconstructed, because the soul really doesn't care if you have, you know, three cars in the driveway and you know, it doesn't care if you're in a relationship or not in a relationship. Our souls are much more concerned with what I would call the eternal aspect of maybe us as a whole race and our piece of the oneness that is going to help us as earthlings. Not necessarily as an American or as an Australian. It doesn't make that distinction. It looks at the grander picture and our part in it, which is, you know, still very much ours personally. It does happen to us, because, like, I'm starting to understand, like, this whole thing. Like, I have recently the woman I was working for, she quit her job, so as her nanny, it pretty much diminished my job, which is a first for me. It's usually the baby goes to a school that they don't need me, or the parents don't like me and let go of me. Whatever it is, I've never had such an amiable breakup from a job. And so it's interesting, because I keep finding, like, I have this site that I'm applying to nanny gigs, and what I'll find is there are days that I'm in fear that, oh, my God, you know, there's no money coming in. I must make money. I must make money to survive. And I'll answer these jobs, and there'll be certain jobs that I'll answer that I can tell I'm only answering because I'm in fear and they're looking for somebody. Now, there'll be other jobs that I'm like, okay, I'd really like this one. I'll answer those too. But the only jobs recently that have been replying back to me are all the ones I'm answering based in fear. It's a pattern. It's an actual pattern. And what'll happen is when they answer me, and I've spent 5 hours in the woods, or, you know, I'm just in a space where I'm not in fear, you know, now they're answering me, and I'm like, you know, I really don't want that job. It's like, what are you doing, Goldie? And I'm witnessing myself, because this is another thing that I believe alchemy does. Alchemy allows the personality of Goldie to do many, quote-unquote, fearful, silly, even somewhat stupid things. But when I'm witnessing Goldie doing that, there's no judgment. There's no fear in it. There is truly the sense that, you know, almost like a mature being allowing an immature being to be immature. because I absolutely, positively agree with you that the ascension and in order to experience alchemy, there is a maturity that comes, because for many, many years, most of my life, I was very resistant to discipline. I never really got discipline from my parents, so it wasn't really that. But discipline, you got to go to school and do these kind of things, or you got to act a certain way, and you got to use the right forks and whatever it was. I just wasn't a big fan of discipline. I am learning now, as I am alchemizing myself in this experience, that discipline is actually turning into the tool from a maturity level that helps me obtain that which I desire. And that is, again, a first for me, because, like I said, I'm anti-authority for most of my life. And ironically, you know, I mean, I was a drug dealer, so because this is the things I started realizing. It's like, well, when I was a drug dealer, I used to tell all my friends, you know, they were like, I bet you hate the cops. And I used to say to them, you know, not really, no. It's like, you know, if they catch me, I'm breaking the law, and they have every right to catch me. So, you know, why would I hate them for doing their job? You know, just, you know, it's like I always seem to have this, like an underpinning, I'm not quite sure how to say that word, an essence behind me that is, at this point in my experience, in the human experience, I am aware of this essence, but I'm also aware that it's been with me my entire life, because, I mean, I never did get caught selling drugs, and, you know, just between me, you, and, you know, the other 100,000 people listening, I used to sell drugs to the cops. So, you know, there was always this essence. People have said to me, like, people that were friends with me as a child, and I would see them, like, you know, in a grocery store or gas station, we'd have, like, a very casual conversation, and they'd be like, no, there was something about you when you were a kid, like, we just knew that you were different. And I'd be like, you know, like, what do you mean different? And it's like, you just had a presence about you. And it's like, I never experienced that until recently, this presence they're speaking of. But I'm learning that other people experience it from me, even when I'm, quote, unquote, doing the immature things. That presence that I'm now connecting with and actually experiencing as a perspective, now I'm starting to go, oh, that presence. Like, I am connecting with my soul, oversoul, avatar, whatever you want to call it. And that is the alchemy, because my avatar doesn't necessarily get upset when I do polarized things, whether they good or bad. I kind of lost my own train of thought, but we were talking about time. Help me here, William.
I'm with you. I'm following you. But
okay.
You got to excuse me. I've got to just go to the toilet very quickly. If you can just keep talking for 30 seconds, I'll be back,
okay.
And I'll make a comment on what you said. Is that fair?
Of course, that's okay. It's a 2-hour show. No problem.
I'm just in my body now, and my body is telling me that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, we have another hour to go. So please go and relieve yourself, and I'll keep talking. Okay. So Dawn was talking about, you know, the timeless part, and, you know, it's almost like, it's also what William's response to Dawn was, which is very interesting. You know, if we resist something about ourselves, or actually I think William was saying this prior to Dawn, but if there's a part of us that we don't like and we try and get rid of that part of us is going to grow. I mean, it's going to grow and grow and grow and grow until the ultimate alchemy, which is love, comes into the equation. So we want to really love, you know, I mean, because I am learning to love the quote-unquote knucklehead that I am. Not, you know, I mean, I'm telling you, I deal with people, professional people, all the time with the radio show, and I just make crazy mistakes, or, you know, misspell things, or, you know, everybody kind of knows, you know, here at another reality show, we're not exactly holding etiquette court here, you know. I mean, I burp, I fart, I swear, my guests burp and fart and swear. You know, it's like I'm very comfortable in the casual, but what I'm realizing is that the presence that
okay.
I have in... Oh, yay! Let me just finish that thought. The presence that I have invited to be a part of my experience has always been here. It's just now I'm connecting to this experience, to that part of me as well. Okay, I would love to hear what you have to share, William.
Thank you.
and hopefully everything came out okay. I had to say it.
Yeah, it did. You'll be relieved to know. you know, because when you concluded what I heard anyway, you were talking about your soul, your oversoul, your avatar, whatever, and we all just use different terminologies, which can be confusing, but we're often saying the same thing.
Yeah.
But you see, the thing about alchemy is that that's what it's all about, is that it's about rising up. You could even argue that it's about descending. I actually don't like the idea that it's an ascension. It can give a false idea that there's things that are above and things that are beneath you and
yes.
whatever.
Yes.
And really, if you just look at it physically, if you just look at the logic of it physically, is that energetically, actually, when we come to the higher, we actually do descend, because we drop out of our heads and come more into our bodies and into our hearts. So it could very legitimately be called a descension. But anyway, that's nitpicking.
I hear you. That's an interesting point. Yes, I agree.
That's quibbling. But whatever it is, whether it's above, below, sideways, whatever, that whether it's outer, inner, expanding, internalizing, the albedo, the light, the white, is the connection with the soul and the oversoul and the avatar. And as it were, you could call it God, and bringing God's will, then following God's will, then you know your path, and you stick to that. And as we were talking earlier with what Dawn introduced, is that when we're on that path, we're at our happiest, we're at our most complete, we're at our most fulfilled, and as individuals and as a society. And let's face it, that when an individual is not fulfilled and is not congruent and not on their path, things become very heavy and turbulent for them. No matter how peaceful it is, you could put them in the most peaceful environment and they'll be psychotic. And yet,
right.
for a person who is on their path, you can put them in the most turbulent of outer circumstances and they'll be okay inside. You see, or not even inside, but just for themselves.
Right.
They will be traveling well. And it behoves us as individuals and as societies to be on track. And so one interpretation, the horrors that you could see happening in the world, the structural breakdowns and the financial stress and turmoil, you know, political and the wars and terror and everything. If you took our planet as a single entity and took the human race as a single entity, which in one way you should be able to structurally anyway, if by any analysis you'd say this is a race that is not on track, you know, and if you become too separate from your avatar or your oversoul or whatever, whether that's as an individual in a society, you're going to become psychotic. You know, things are
right.
going to get very rough. And you know, as sad as it can be, sometimes it's the best thing that can happen to a person, because then that's how the soul is able to get in touch with them, to break things down and to such a point that things are so unmanageable that then people have to look at themselves, you know.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, and I think that the soul is really okay with, at least it's been my experience, exactly like you said. I mean, my breakdown is simply, this from the soul perspective, more focused. In other words, if I have no distractions because I don't have a job and I'm not, you know, going out and buying clothes because I have no money, you know, that just puts me in the woods that much more, which is really the focus of where, you know, at least from my experience, it's easiest to relate to those, the aspects of me that, you know, like the famous saying, if we quiet our minds, we'll hear our souls. You know, that's my perspective of it anyways. And, you know, the mind is all about, you know, I got to go to work, you know, I got to watch TV, I got to go. The mind never wants to stop. It seems like it's partly the mind, but it's partly the culture, too. The culture, you know, has us that we should be producing, based on, from what I'm getting, the rhythms of life that incorrectly. It's like we're not here to produce, you know, from the time we get out of college, let's say 22, until we retire at 67. You know, those are the producing years. It's like, you know, everything in our world that's natural has an ebb and a flow. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because my father just told me today about a friend of his that we've been, his family and our family have known each other my whole life, and the oldest son is going through a divorce and has been laid off twice. Now, what was interesting about the story is that he's going through a divorce. He married a woman whose parents were from they were Holocaust survivors. And now this gentleman is Jewish, so I was like, why did the parents have a problem with Andy? Andy was Jewish. And my father was like, well, they had a problem with like everything. You know, they were Holocaust survivors, so clearly, you know, they got issues, I'm sure. And then the next story my father told me is that when Andy got laid off twice, it was basically circumstances that the boss got lost the job, and so then all the subordinates underneath the boss also got laid off. And, like, as I'm listening to the story, the first thing that came to my mind was Andy's got victim issues. You know, he's being victimized. And one of the things I'm getting that from my own experiences is that victim issues seem to be coming up for everybody. You know, similar to what you were answering to with Dawn, saying, you know, Nelson Mandela did not come out feeling victimized, because I don't think he'd be able to run a country if he was, you know, in victim mode. It's like, you know, life is going to give us certain experiences that it can burn away the dross. We can look at it as burning away the dross, or we can look at it as being everything's being taken from us. You know, it's really, it turns into a choice of how are we going to look at what's happening to us from a self-empowered point of view and a trusting point of view, or a poor me pity party point of view. You know, they're both existing. It's really now where do we resonate, you know, to what's happening? Because I told my father, I said, you should talk to Andy that in his downtime, because I guess he hasn't found a job in like 18 months. I go, you know, if he was working on himself during the time he didn't have a job and connecting with himself and, you know, going into nature, breathing, meditating, finding out what his emotions are and what's underneath, you know, I consider that just as valuable as going to work and being able to pay his bills, because at the moment he can't pay his bills, so he's living with his parents. And I'm sure from the parents' point of view, they're happy to have their son home. You know, you know what I'm saying? It's like everything is a perspective. You know, because I've had plenty of times where I've lost my job and I've been living on less than $100 a week. And I live with my father to do that, yes. But, I mean, it's a matter of, okay, so I can go to the woods that much more often, or I can still get the work done, so to speak, that I want to get done, because the things that I want to do don't really, I'm learning, even especially with the Ascension, this is not about taking classes and getting initiations and DNA upgrades. This is really about just becoming aware and in love with me, exactly as I am in who I am. Just being okay with me is the alchemical process. You know, this is Dorothy. Is this not? Is this not Dorothy? You know, down the Yellow Brick Road? I think it is.
You know, what you raise here is very central to my understanding of self-empowerment. And,
okay.
In fact, true spiritual living, true soulful living, because you raise the term victim and victimhood, and there's actually a lot more in that word than people can appreciate often. Because, you see, to me, a victim, my definition of a victim is not necessarily the unflattering picture of someone who is downtrodden and crushed and abused terribly by others or another or life or whatever, but just simply,
right.
To me, a victim is somebody who has the perception or who lives with the underlying premise or assumption that life happens to them. And if I had to give an antonym to the word victim, I would say that the antonym, the opposite of victim, is a creator, just for the sake of definition. And you see,
right,
a creator, a person who's a creator as opposed to a victim, is the creator is someone who's living with an underlying assumption or premise that they happen to life, that they have power in life, that they have at least some contribution and input into whatever their situation is. And, this is very important, because when you talk about we create our own reality, when people talk about we create our own reality, we actually do. I mean, that is absolutely true, in that we do create our own reality. You could argue to what extent, but that's the only thing you can argue, because, of course, we all have different perceptions. If there's a car crash and 8 people witness the car crash, all of them have different perceptions based on where they're coming from. And so most strategically, most fundamentally in structural terms, you know, in terms of where you're coming from either a place of life is happening to me or I'm happening to life. And
right.
Then that creates very powerful perceptions. You might think, well, that's a very innocent, harmless orientation. Well, you know, things happen to me. That can have profound implications on you, because the definitions that you assign yourself, others, and life then create your perception. They color how you see, feel, and think about things. And a mind that is saying, things happen to me, the subconscious is going, fair enough. Well, I won't throw up solutions here that could give you power in this situation. I won't throw up motivation for you to take action here that will help, you know, you in the situation. So it'll reinforce the perception of victimhood and then also the experience
right.
of victimhood. And then that
right.
experience will reinforce the definition, the belief of victimhood. Whereas the creator will go, I have power here. I'm responsible for this situation. And then the subconscious will throw up a feeling of power in the situation. It'll throw up solutions that the person will become aware of. It'll throw up motivation, energy for that person to take that action. And that then will give them power in the situation. And then that experience of power, whether it's a little bit of power or a lot of power, will still reinforce that they have power, which will then come into the equation in the next situation that they encounter. And so you're either on a downward spiral or you're on an upward spiral, you know, and sort of, you know, just sympathetically, atavistically, as it were, we just have an innate love of eagles, don't we? Every society through history, I mean, your name's Golden Hawk. But, you know, you think about why did the Romans have eagles on their standards, and the American Indians love, the Native Americans love the concept of eagles, as everyone does. You know, whenever we want a symbol of power, we think of the eagle, and you know, what does the eagle do? The eagle rises up on thermals without flapping its wings. You know, it's this being that rides these thermals, that rides the skies, that rises up above everything, just, you know, totally effortlessly. It's a powerful creature, sheer powerful creature. And so, you know, the definitions and the assumptions by which we live our lives are incredibly important. Just that, you know, just the thing to wake up in the morning and affirm. You don't have to feel positive about it or have positive thoughts about it or beliefs or anything, but just to acknowledge, to take on board, first thing in your day is that it's your day. And you make the difference in the day. The common denominator in everything in your life is you. You know, whether it's a relationship or financial experiences or your relationship with the police, you know, it might have been in New York or in New Orleans or wherever you were and you encountered the police. There's a different policeman each time, but each time it was you.
Right.
And in each relationship, it was you. That you're that you're the common denominator. And this today, this is your life. And to affirm it in that way is very different than just waking up in the morning and, you know, taking it in the same old way. Those two different attitudes, orientations, create profound repercussions, profound repercussions that make an enormous difference in a person's life. And you know, we're not talking a huge effort here. It's just all it is an attitude, is the will to see something in a certain way. Just like if I went to an art exhibition, it takes no effort for me to decide whether I like a painting or not. You know, it takes as much effort as that to put ourselves on a phenomenally powerful track or not.
Agreed. I agree. I mean, because what I hear when you speak this stuff is the difference between being immature and maturity. The maturity is what the word responsibility is, a mature word. You have to want to be responsible, and that's a mature thing to choose. Because I agree with you that it's literally a choice. You know, it might be a conscious choice in the beginning, but inevitably it will become the first instinct if after a while that's what you're choosing. I mean, I don't think anymore, you know, am I a victim or aren't I? I totally take responsibility. And what's interesting is when I took total responsibility of my life, you know, that initially didn't make everything better, but what it did is it makes everything clearer. It's like, oh, because like I was saying with the jobs, when I put the energy in the creating of a job in fear, well, of course the ones that are fearful come back. You know, the ones that I'm afraid of taking. It's like, it's so clear to me. It's like, okay, Goldie, stop getting online and applying for jobs when you're in fear.
I mean, that's what I said to myself. I'm not going to do that anymore. Now I'm going to go to the woods. I'll give a better example, too, because I love what you were saying. Today I spent 5 hours in the woods because the last couple of days the humidity is just crazy around here, and the bugs in the woods are just like scavengers. It was just too hot. I just couldn't sit in the woods when it was that hot. So I was like, oh, it'd be great if, you know, we could have a hot day but no humidity. Well, voila, Thursday the 14th of July, it's a hot day, no humidity. I was out there by 11 o'clock this morning, soaking it up, being with my trees, laughing, crying, oh, just having such a good time. And then it was like I came to my boyfriend's house to do the show tonight. Now, but when I came here, it was basically at 4:30, which is a half an hour before our main traffic, you know, starts at 5. And I was like, there was a ton of traffic. I was like, a half an hour, I wasn't missing the traffic. And I went, you know what? I don't care. I mean, I had just spent 5 hours in the woods. I was at peace. I just felt phenomenal, and I could feel it coming here, like the people around me. I was looking at their faces in my field. I actually put my field out, my energetic field. I was like, I kind of want to, you know, let's spread the sunshine, spread it, Goldie. Just allow people that when they drive past your car, they're going to drive through a field of centeredness and peace. And, you know, some people smiled, and some people actually got triggered, you know, where I could just see the tension about, you know, we were basically moving, you know, 2 inches, you know, every 10 minutes. You know, a 15-minute ride took me about an hour to get here. And me, I just had my music blasting. I was singing my songs. You know, I was in my center in the midst of chaos, because I have been in traffic before where I will get, my stomach will go into this knot, and I just intuitively know I'm getting it from the people around me. You know, they're frustrated, because I see how hard it is for people to sit still. Like at the grocery store when I bought some food before I went hiking, there was a gentleman that, he couldn't sit still. His leg was going. He started picking at the deli counter. You know, and it's like you can just sense that people don't spend any time in stillness or in silence, let alone in nature. And so when their bodies have to stop moving because the world about them is not letting it move, it's not letting it flow, they're freaking out. You know, they're very uncomfortable and they're very anxious. And I think that really that part of this whole journey about me not working is about understanding that I can still create even if I, quote unquote, do not have a job that is bringing me in money at the moment. And I'm also just, I want to put it out there too, I'm a firm believer that everyone should have multiple streams of income, because when one stream kind of dries up a little, you should have other places where that can bring in money as well, which I do. You know, I'm thinking about doing some healing work, and, you know, I can do some hypnosis work. I'm not here to talk about that. I'm just saying that, you know, it's just so amazing with the clarity that it brings, you know, from being in this space of our true selves. I mean, because that's what our true selves don't care if we're sitting in traffic or lying in our, you know, lying in a luxurious 100,000 thread bed, you know, 1,000 thread sheeted bed. It doesn't care. Our bodies care, but our souls and our, you know, the battle is between the soul and the ego, not between the circumstance per se. Sometimes, you know, sometimes I think I get off on tandems. Please excuse me. I think I went on a tandem just there. Still with us, William?
Yeah, no. I'm listening with great interest.
Oh, you're sweet.
I am. I actually even think we've found something to potentially disagree on.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, I've been waiting for that. Okay, please speak with me.
I say that, you know, just mirthfully though, but also, I don't actually believe that we have to have multiple streams of income. It could be great for a person who has multiple streams of income, but that assumes how it's got to be, really. And actually, there's no way that it has to be. We don't have to have multiple streams of income.
Okay.
You know, it's important to have an income in life. You know, but it doesn't matter what form that is. You could be someone living off a trust, and you know that's a good enough income. And
you could
be someone working at a bank, and you know that's a good enough income. And you could be someone with a multiple form of income, and that's great. I think that it's just important, really, more than anything, than having concepts about how it should be and shouldn't be. There's actually no way it should be, other than if there's going to be a way it should be, is that you should be in touch with your heart or your soul or your albedo, whatever terminology
right.
you want to use with your for your core truth and congruency, and you more than anything, you should be doing what you love. I know that you're not going to subscribe to it, but I just say this to emphasize the point and complete the point, is that, you know, I actually do know a lot of people and even good friends of mine that subscribe to this, and they're in the wealth creation game, and it's all about building up multiple streams of income and residual streams of income. And mostly I actually see people in those modes, to be honest, to be frank, actually struggling and never really getting to where they want to get, and never actually doing anything they love. You know, the most powerful force in the universe, bar none, certainly creative, I'm talking about now, is
okay.
passion. Passion.
Yeah.
Passion
yeah.
is the most powerful force ever invented. It'll move mountains. And what is passion at the end of the day, if you really think about it? Passion is the energy for an end result. And if you magicians, alchemists, they're very switched on to end results. You know, there's a school out there of philosophy, thought, whatever, that says, don't want anything. You know, it's bad or it's unspiritual to want anything. We should just sort of sit here, and I don't say this in a demeaning sense, but the idea is that we should passively accept and receive whatever comes down the line to us. And
right.
but from a creative standpoint, that is all wrong. That in fact is actually flies in the face of the very idea of creativity. Because actually end result, put you in touch with your soul. The soul is engaged by end result. If I were here with you physically, I could actually demonstrate to you how you become physically powerful and actually unstoppable as a result of being focused on an end result, and how you weakened by not having an end result in your consciousness. But that natural, innate, invisible force in you is engaged, actually, by end results. And, you know, what engages your ego is the question what process. The ego wants to know how things happen, what's the way to go about things, etc. And the soul, as I say, is engaged by end results. So if you ever want to become a soul-orientated person, engage your soul and more live and be informed by what your soul wants from life and the path your soul wants to go down, start by choosing some end result. Doesn't matter how much integrity they have to start with. But just by having end results in mind, you will engage that part of yourself. And once engaged, that part of yourself itself will begin feeding you with end results, will begin steering you more and more on the course of your truth. And you know, that's my point. My point is that the important thing in life is not about streams of income or not streams of income. It's about end results. And you know, not, I'm not talking about blind end results. I'm talking about what you love, your passion, because that is going to stimulate the most resourceful and what's the word I'm looking for? Sustainable forces within yourself, resources within yourself.
Right. Well, that's very Abraham Hicks. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but with that teaching. But no, and I hear you. I see some of the stuff that I speak of is, you know, I'm going through it right now. So it's like, you know, because there's a part of me that asks myself, you know, well, do I want a nanny? And, you know, there's a part of me that really would love to, as a career, you know, be doing the media full time. And it's funny because listening to you, I'm going, you know, and part of it is I'm afraid to say that, okay, I want to do the media full time because I, you know, I don't have any prospects, quote unquote. You know, it's like if I do the nannying, I've got 20 years experience and a college degree. And from a third dimension, you know, that clearly gets me through some doors, so to speak, even though, I mean, I've been answering ads and it's still not getting me through doors. But it's funny because it's the lack of my passion in saying, do I want a nanny right now, where I really, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm having these, like, you know, grand dreams of sustaining myself from an income with the radio show. It's like I'm like, you know, this is 5 years. I've been doing this a while, and, you know, I don't need scripts anymore. I'm not nervous anymore. I would love to take this to another step. You know, the next step where it actually, because I've always described her as my baby, and it's like at this point I say to people, she's a toddler, because there are people that actually contact me now to be on the show, and, you know, so there's certain, like, areas where she has her tentacles, where people are coming to me, and so, you know, I've actually, you know, there was a woman in Wisconsin recently that said to me, you know, I would love to be your agent or your manager. And, you know, that really struck me as like, wow. I mean, because I would also love to do speaking engagements and live remote shows from, you know, to like incorporate that with the traveling, you know, travel around the country and do shows and, you know, and it's like, it's funny because when I'm in the midst of it, when I'm in the midst of the woods and stuff and I feel at peace, I can dream that. You know, when I come home to my dad's house and, you know, he's got his hand out for the rent, you know, then I pull all my energy back and I'm like, oh, give me a nanny gig. You know, it's definitely, it's fear-based where I'm choosing. And well, I'm just glad you spoke your truth, and I'm glad you disagreed, because I really believe right now, more than ever, you know, it's like the energy is ripe for all of us to follow passion. Passion will clearly create, you know, in this dimension, the dreams we have. And, you know, I'm one that says all the time, don't talk your talk and then not walk your walk. You know, I'm not a big fan of people who just babble it. You know, it's like, and I clearly get that right now is a time for me to genuinely walk my walk. You know, it's like,
well, you know, what you're expressing here, Golden, is classic, you know, just grist for the creative mill. Because this is what I'm saying about, this is a real example of what I'm talking about, the power of alchemy and how complete and comprehensive a structure it is, because, you know, some people are very good at, you know, knowing where they are and knowing, you know, the reality of situations and often how negative a situation is, and you know, they can look at themselves and be honest about themselves. This is that negredo phase where you can, you know, you can be good at digging in the dirt.
Okay.
Otherwise, you can be really good at being a dreamer. You can be good at rising up into the albedo and, you know, seeing your passion over and over and over again. But, you know, the thing is, if you think about dreams, and it's not just me. I've spoken to a lot of people about dreams, and many people have the same experience as me, is that I'm talking about a literal dream that you have when you're asleep. You have this powerful dream, this amazing, weird dream, whatever it is, and you wake up, and the moment you wake up, it's very fresh in your mind, and you think, my God, that was an amazing dream. I'll never forget that dream as long as I live. But by the time you've brushed your teeth, you can't remember that dream. It's gone, which is why they say you've got to write them down, you know, because you don't. And we're like that, you know. We apply the term dream to our passions in life, to our true passions in life, and it is. It's because they're so ephemeral. They're so volatile, you know.
Mm.
And the thing, one of the axioms of alchemy is that you've got to make the volatile fixed. You've got to take that dream and bring it into life, you know.
Right,
but
right.
For a lot of people, they don't have the understanding or the tools for bringing down the illusion, the mists of Avalon. You know, they don't have the tools to bring that down, then to rise up and realize their dream. And then furthermore, on realizing their dream, transfer it into practical living, like the dream to be a media person, like the dream that you've just enunciated, which, by the way, really resonated. I was actually really thrilled as you talked about your dream, about presenting and you know, traveling and actually directly face to face with audiences, presenting,
exactly.
Et cetera.
Exactly.
It rang true for me, and you know, that's a classic case of a dream. And it's then like, okay, well, let's take this dream and take it out of the current reality of I've got to hand my dad the rent and this and that, and you know, which are practical realities. But how do we translate current practical realities into replacing current practical realities with a living dream reality? And this is the beauty of alchemy, because it gives you systematic steps to transfer all that through to completion, so you know that you do not stop and you're not swayed until you have your dream living out. I mean, I had a dream of being a presenter as I am today, and you know, I've ended up being the most successful self-transformational trainer in Australia, and have the number one best-selling metaphysical book in Australia, and at one time these were dreams, and who I understood myself as, and my practical realities from where I started, it was just a ridiculous dream to dream that I could have that, as you know, as well as I could bore you all the things I've created, and yet what alchemy has done for me, it's given me a practical model that I can take my starting point with all the negative circumstances and whatever. I can take that, rise above it, ask myself, yeah, but what's my dream? And then can take practical steps towards fulfilling that dream and easing my way out of the old circumstances. And, you know, I would have to take you through my course to
Yeah, but you know, the thought coming to my head is, when are you going to have a telecourse or, you know, a teleconference course? We need you on video. I need you on video.
Well, no, we're actually going to do all of that. As part of the whole plan of being in America is we're going to create every kind of product as well as our courses, you know.
Nice.
But let me just say is that, you know, the first place to start, and it's a very powerful place that will then lead to you acquiring all the other resources you need. It's that step of acknowledging to yourself, aside from all the circumstances in your life, that yes, it is this media dream that you spoke of is your dream. And making a commitment to yourself that you are going to allow yourself to receive that in this lifetime, that you are going to give that to yourself, to make a promise to yourself, to commit to yourself, to make a choice to yourself, that even though you don't understand how, because that's what engages the ego, that even though you don't understand how, you will create it, you see. And that is what you're going to hold in your consciousness, is that vision, that end result. And that will bring into play forces that you never even dreamed of. But that's the first step. That's the first step in that alchemical process of translating a dream into reality, is owning that 100% or to whatever percentage you can. In fact, you know, my old mentor used to say to me, and this is a very powerful point, is that to control a corporation, you only have to own 51% of it, and that it's the same in your consciousness. Your love only has to have 51% ownership of your consciousness. There can be 49% fear there. But if by 1% the majority of your energy is in what you love, then, you know, you've got control of it and you're manifested. But what I'm saying is just simply, as fully as you are able, and of course this grows with practice, but as fully as you are able, is to plant yourself in that intention. Because, you know, people don't realize this, Golden, is that your subconscious is there just looking at everything, you know, and it just hears everything. It hears, it'd be nice to be a radio presenter one day, and it'd be nice to be a millionaire one day. Gee, wouldn't it be nice to have some kids and a lovely husband or wife? And your subconscious goes, yeah, wouldn't it be lovely? Yeah, I agree. That would be nice. Yes. Oh, yes. Beautiful. Nice. But it's never going to do anything until it hears you say, we want that. You know, that's what we are. That's what I am. That's what I want. Then it's like, oh, okay, so you want that. Why didn't you tell me before? You've got to tell yourself.
Yeah, well, and I can feel that I'm afraid, but, and I also feel, I'm understanding what you're saying completely, that in that fear of saying it, it'll never show up. I mean, it can never show up because the subconscious, I have to work with my subconscious. Because, you know, as you're saying these things, I'm going, you know, I can remember a day, you know, a couple of years ago where I had found a book, the title was something to the effect of what you would say to yourself if you were, you know, if you were conscious of what you were saying. It had all these scripts that were very empowering and very, you know, very confident. And I remember what I did was I took the book and I made an audio tape of these scripts in my voice. And the first time I heard it, I mean, truly, I was mesmerized at me saying these amazingly self-empowering, beautiful things.
And then I just kind of, you know, I went off. I bought these angel books, and I was saying these amazing, you know, incantations, only because it was so amazing for me to hear myself speak an intelligence that I had never heard myself speak. And so as you were saying what you were just saying, I'm going, you know, Goldie, you could make a recording of, you know, your dream of being this radio star, you know, a radio star. Because I'll admit, I mean, I've had, you know, wouldn't it be great to be the spiritual Howard Stern? You know, 6 million people following me. That'd be pretty good. And, you know, and then I can feel myself, you know, with my energy retracts and goes, no, 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 go small, Goldie. Just, you know, if you have a couple thousand people listening. And it's like, you know, I'm hearing you, and I'm glad we have this on the tape because, you know, it's time for me to start taking some action steps, because you're absolutely right that it is the ego that wants to know how, and the soul is going, just focus on it, we'll send you all, because that's one of your seven magician ways, is that you don't have to move in the direction, but you'll know what action to take when it comes in front. I mean, this woman essentially said to me, I'd like to manage you. And since coming home from Wisconsin, because I had a relationship issue with the person I went out there to see, I let go of all of Wisconsin. And it's like, you know, I clearly get in my head, you need to call the woman that said, I'd like to manage you. Whether I'm having relationship issues with someone else or not is irrelevant. You know, there's an opportunity of something with this woman saying, I'd like to manage you. You know, like, at least investigate it, for God's sakes, Goldie. You know, it's like, and I can tell that I get all distracted, you know, with other stuff. And it really is generated, the distractions and these quote-unquote excuses of my fear of actually manifesting myself as a media personality that is sustaining herself as such. You know, it's like I'm feeling it come up as a very clearly that, you know, I have fears around this as much as I have the desire for it. I have both.
Yeah, you know, and also one of the things is that with fears and blocks and negatives, people don't really realize how easy those are to uncover and take the power out of, because you know you don't have to spend years in therapy to get to the bottom of an issue. You can get to the bottom of an issue. I've spent just the other we did a workshop the other week, and there was a woman who had been in therapy for a couple of years, and she anticipated a few more years of therapy. And then actually in 15 minutes, I got to the bottom of her issue. You know,
nice.
She was very happy about it, and you know, doesn't see the need to go back to therapy. Because you can actually very quickly get in touch with what's going on for you, you know, with what the underlying issue is. And essentially, basically, the thing is that we're telling ourselves things that we're not even aware of, but it's easy to just go a little beneath the surface and see what we're telling ourselves. That's what's scaring us. What's scaring us is what we're telling ourselves. And if you go down to that level and see what you're telling yourself, I've never encountered the person that saw what they were telling themselves that didn't think that it was just the biggest bunch of rubbish. I've never had a person that went, I see what I'm telling myself now, by God, that's true. In
right.
the thousands of cases that I could tell you about,
right.
in every single case, the person looks at what they're telling themselves and can't with any honesty say, well, that's true. That was that's rubbish. I'm just telling myself rubbish, you know. It's
right.
just because we never test our assumptions, and those assumptions are subconscious. They're just beneath the surface, you know. And a lot of what stops people going forward, claiming their dream, is because what the ego, just underneath the surface, is saying in relation to that. Your ego, by you know design, is there to stop you going for things, because it's you know by you going for your dream, you're obviously going to expose yourself to the dangers that it perceives. So the safest way to keep you safe is not to allow you to go for anything where you're actually going to be at your optimum vulnerability, you see, which you are
Absolutely.
Going to be when you go for your dreams.
And so,
you know, that's what its gig is. But it's very easy to also look at. And, you know, for another time, maybe we can take you or somebody through one of these processes where we look at, okay, like, let's investigate what your dream is. Let's look at what you're telling yourself in relation to that dream. And now let's do something that puts the power in the dream, you know, and restores you to your passion, because passion is the engine of creativity. It's the predominant force. You're not going to get, you know, that's the thing. People create by bringing a lot of energy to forcing that together. But if passion isn't there, and by the way, passion is not the same as excitement and the thrilled enthusiasm and that. It's actually emotionally neutral. But if there's not passion there, well, you know, you haven't got the biggest single ingredient working for you.
Right, right. First of all, I would love, next time we do a show, yes. I would love to do a process with you. I mean, are you kidding me? Yeah. that would be amazing. I agree with everything you just said, you know, and it's funny because I can even feel it in, you know, even in my the dialogues I've been having on, like, my past couple of shows. I'm sensing it's like there's a lack of authenticity in myself, you know, because for me, I'm like, I'm big on, if you're going to talk a certain way, you got to walk it. I mean, and I know I keep bringing that up, but for me, that's, otherwise there's, you know, otherwise I'm part of the false ascension, you know, from my own perspective, because it's like, you know, people, I'm on the show, I mean, because just last week, I was telling people on the show that I went through this really emotional period, and where I, you know, I went into this pity party and was like, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to do the show anymore. And, you know, a lovely listener who listens to me, you know, religiously, for lack of a better word, she was like, no, please don't do that. You know, that I, you know, she reached out to me, and, you know, I was never really going to do it, but I was contemplating it because it was a bad week, and I, you know, and it's like, you know, and I'm not saying, again, you know, it's part of my dark side. The dark side is not everything comes in the timing that I want it. You know, I'm sure Nelson Mandela wanted to come out prior to 28 years, and until it's time for him to come out of the prison, that's when he comes out. But I'm also a firm believer that what you do with your downtime is the difference between what happens when that shift does come, you know, whether you rise above it or whether you just, you know, continue to squabble in you know, in the mediocrity of your own duality. I mean, I don't want to squabble. I want to come out of this alchemized. And, I think you gave excellent tips about, because what I'm thinking is, you know, I could write this down. You know, I could write my dream down and post it on, you know, the mirror in the bathroom, the mirror, you know. In other words, start looking at it. Look at it. Start in visualizing it and breathe it in and breathe it. At the very least, don't keep going every time you're in fear. Okay, let me go post on a nanny gig. You know, that's clearly not feeding the media dream, clearly. Right?
Yep.
Yep. All right, we are actually up at the top of the hour. You're so fabulous, William. Thank you so much for being on the show. Do you have well, let's plug your site, williamwhitecloud.com. Workshops
also,
or
people might be very interested to go to, just as a matter of interest, to AfricanSoulSafari.com to see what I'm doing over there, because that's gonna become more and more central to what I do. WilliamWhitecloud.com for the time being. Actually, our new platform, but it's not up and ready yet. It's going to be William Whitecloud International. So WilliamWhitecloud.com is just kind of a stopgap website.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, and also the book. You guys should listen. If you read the book, the Magician's Way. It tells William's story. Now, is that book? That is a real story, right? I remember we talked about it. But is that fictional or non-fictional?
It's fictional. It's not my story.
Okay.
It's a very good insight into what it really takes to create your life by magic.
Yes. Yes. It's similar to the Celestine Prophecy in that it has spiritual truth within a fictional story.
Yes.
Yes. It's a great book.
I've just finished writing my... Just going to the editor now. I've just finished writing my next book, the sequel to that, the Last Shaman, it's called.
Oh, nice!
Then.
Yes. When it's published, please send me a copy. You know, let me know. I would love to read it.
Will do. Yeah.
Yes. So,
Very nice talking to you again, and feeling the energy of everyone listening out there, and it was just fabulous to get some input from someone else. Input by Dawn was very welcome.
Absolutely. And your input is extraordinary, William. You came to me from a book off a shelf in Barnes & Noble. I mean, and here we speak, you know, halfway around the world to each other. It's just an honor, a privilege, and it's fun. I have great talks with you every time. And, I'll let everybody I know on Facebook the next time you're coming on, because I think they'll benefit from, you know, whatever the process is. I think we can apply it all to self. So I'm excited about that one. You're going to hear from me for that one.
Fantastic. It's worth it.
Ah, you rock, my friend. So next week is Third Thursdays. We'll have Alan Pratt. He will be on. He's the gentleman who works with the Pleiadians and does some sound healing stuff. And everybody have an amazing week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Dawn, you rock. I appreciate your call. And here's to alchemy, everybody. No matter what, there's the answer is always we can alchemize this. No matter what it takes, where we go, always remember through alchemy, it can make everything divine. So thank you very much, and I'll talk to everybody next week. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye. I hit my outro, but it didn't go.
You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments? Email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.